all set. Got my giant cup of water. All my stuff's all set.
Welcome to my special episode podcast for in honor of my birthday. This will not be a regular occurrence due to me not particularly being comfortable with doing this regularly. With me currently is our resident literary critic or writer, Kilroy. Say hi.
Hi. Didn't know I was a literary critic, but thanks. Hi.
Yeah, and Jeff was supposed to join us. Currently, we're having a little bit of difficulty getting him on, but hopefully he should join within the next bit. If not, I guess I'm just going to have to do this with Kilroy. So the topic we're going to be discussing is E to M, the transition in the video game world from child-friendly to adult-friendly. So what this is going to be is just a brief segment discussing the transition from video games as a child's medium to a more adult medium, as well as the consequences that have arisen from them, both positive and negative. So let's start from the beginning. All right, so we're going to go back all the way to 1985. We have the video game industry being about 13 years old. We just came out of a major crash. Everything seemed all dark and gloomy. And suddenly this small little company from Japan named Nintendo decides to release the NES in North America. So just to ask Kilroy, what do you think Nintendo would have had to face with the release of the NES?
Well, they would have had a lot of difficulty because I personally, I have to say, I wasn't alive at the time. I was only born in 1991 myself, so I didn't experience that period of time personally. But you have to imagine that it'd be very difficult for them to try and get that kind of system off the ground because, like you said, video games had this huge crash, so nobody was particularly interested in them at the time. So it would have taken a gigantic effort to really get that off the ground, to get people playing again. And it would take some very interesting, very innovative movements in gaming, which, of course, they did, as everybody now knows, because the NES fixed the crash, and it's moved forward nicely.
And now also, with regard to the NES as well, Nintendo had to establish an official target audience. So what do you think the original audience would have had to have been?
Oh, absolutely. Children to late teens. I don't think it was really designed for the older crowd, simply because the NES was, let's face it, the NES was a fairly primitive system in comparison to the kind of thing we can do today with video gaming. So it's just, you know, they didn't really have the capability to program in a game that would be oriented towards adults. You know, the ESRB rating system that we have today, and actually honestly can't remember if it was in place back when the NES was released. Do you know?
No, actually was not.
Okay, I think the reason for that is you can't really, can you honestly fairly rate the adultness of an NES game? I mean, there were no explicitly adult games for that system. I mean, it's like, is jumping on Koopa's graphic, is like, you know, it's, they couldn't really make a game that was specifically oriented for adults. The FPS as we see today, the games like Fable or Fallout 3
or Halo,
or any of those other games that have been labeled M for mature, just couldn't really be created. So it was more of a younger system. It was oriented toward a younger crowd.
Well, we did have NARC, which came out from the mid to late 80s, made by Midway. And even though it didn't really have any blood, if you see any early, like, original footage for it, or if you see any gameplay, you'd see that it's pretty graphic stuff. It's digitized, and you have guns, you have hookers, you have basic levels with drugs. So there were some mature games, and that leads to the question: was NARC an oddity for the NES, or is it possible that there were more games like that?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I didn't see many mature games myself, but because when I had the NES, I just sort of, I was too young to go out and buy games for myself. They were all gifts from family. But I'd say that it's probably an oddity. So it's because, like I said, the system was probably oriented towards children and teenagers. So they weren't really worried about programming anything that had shock value or realism simply because they didn't have the capabilities to perfectly or as accurately convey that as they have today.
That being said, I do remember reading about how there was a controversy around NARC, particularly how people were talking about how NARC was a drug training simulator. And as much as if you look at NARC, it kind of gives mixed messages, because on one hand you have people talking about fighting drugs, on the other hand you think the developers were on drugs. It did raise a minor controversy due to its explicit nature, although I would agree with you that it is kind of an oddity, especially due to the limitations of the machine.
Well, of course it's going to raise controversy, especially when you think about it, because, like, as I've said, that game was probably a bit of I think it's a sort of off-normal, off-average game for the NES. So if you release something like that, for instance, I bet when the first Grand Theft Auto game was released, I didn't own a PlayStation until later in my life, so I never actually played the original one. But when the first Grand Theft Auto game was released, it whipped up a whole ton of controversy, and it does whenever you do that kind of thing, because you're releasing something that is bloody and violent and involves material children don't generally experience on a children's console.
Yeah. Now, all right, and I remember also there was a remake of NARC made for the PlayStation 2, and I haven't really played it, but from what I know, it firstly didn't receive such great press, and also it was considered to be more violent and graphic than the original, partly due to the limitations being not as restricting, but also due to it taking on very similar attributes to Grand Theft Auto. Although you are right to some degree that having a game like NARC back in the 80s would have been an oddity.
Yeah. It also wouldn't have been a particularly good idea, because, like I said, at that point, the game was oriented towards children and young adults. It was not a adult system or even a mature audiences system. It just wasn't. So whoever developed that game was not making a particularly bright choice. Although it may have received some sales, it wouldn't have had the same audience that it would today.
Yeah. I mean, and also another thing to mention is that these games were, also due to limitations, these games were quite challenging. So I guess one of the advantages that kids had back then is that they were having their brains tested constantly. And I do remember there were also other games that came out, like for instance, with Contra. And
oh, of course.
Yeah, but for the most part, I think we can probably agree that mature games or games themed towards adults were somewhat rare. So I guess we can probably move on to the next part with the transition period. So the transition period, when we start to see some early examples of adult-rated games. So when do you exactly think the beginning of the transition period was? Like, what year would you roughly date it?
I'm not sure what year I would say, but I'd say it definitely started during the Super NES. Because, like I said, the NES had too many limitations to really have a adult game. But the NES was far more capable. They'd moved from 8-bit to 16-bit. The programming was stronger. The musical score was more, well, they could make, you know, they could have better music. They had a different controller. The controls could be more complex and adaptive. So they had a lot more options. I think it's really started with the introduction of Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
That, I think, was the first publicly violent game that could be considered mature, that could be bought, like, widely and was widely popular.
Yeah, people were interested to see it. I remember when I first played Mortal Kombat, I think I was maybe 5. I was playing it on my cousin's Genesis, and I'm thinking, this is incredibly brutal. I remember I remember when I was with my cousin, and he always was Scorpion, and every time I got really weak, he would, like, the guy would latch his tongue out and eat my guy's head. And not only that, but he seemed to delight in to enjoy that. It's almost as if Scorpion said yummy or like smacked his stomach as if it was really something tasty. And this was something that people had never really experienced before. And of course, it reached the Congress. It had raised quite a bit of controversy. There was this problem where the video game industry was taken to court and how the Super Nintendo was censoring all the blood, and how they talked about how if the video game industry didn't create some sort of way to manage this within a year, that it'd be shut down permanently. So what do you think would have been the real issue behind that? Do you think it was necessarily controversy, or is just that people were uncomfortable with this new introduction to more violent material?
Well, I actually have a personal theory as to why video games always catch a lot of heat for being violent. Now, for games like Mortal Kombat, they're violent on purpose. They have all that blood, all that violence, all that brutality for a reason. It's for the shock value. They are trying to surprise you. They're trying to make you go, oh my god, did he just rip that guy in half? You know, they're not doing it for the laughs. They're doing it because they want to surprise you, because they want to have that exact effect. And yet, the thing is, I don't think it's that the people in Washington and the people that protest brutality in video games, I don't think the people don't realize that. I think that they know that, but they use video games as a bit of a scapegoat.
I think also part of the problem could be that people, they don't really understand this stuff. I mean, if you think about it, this was back in a time when video games were catering to a relatively small market, and it could possibly be that, like, with all new things, there's always going to be some controversy. Like, back when movies were still small in the 30s, there was controversy. When television was still growing in the 70s, there was controversy. I mean, the irony of this all is that if you look at Mortal Kombat today, you see that there's a huge degression in terms of the violence. The violence has kind of downplayed. If you look at the recent Mortal Kombat versus DC, people were complaining about how the fatalities were neutered.
That had to play down simply because DC, you know, Mortal Kombat is Mortal Kombat. If you've looked at any of the just plain old Mortal Kombat games, they're pretty much still as brutal as ever. But that one in particular, they were including DC characters, and you couldn't exactly have Batman tear a guy in half and then eat his entrails, you know? So that's something they kind of had to glaze over a little.
Although they could have kept the Joker's fatality in there. I don't necessarily think it would have been all that brutal. It just would have been him acting like crazy. And truth be told, I don't think people would have really minded, because after all, the Joker is kind of insane.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a whole different topic. That's for as far as why people, the video game industry has always caught so much trouble over this, I think that it's an easy target. I think because the video game industry has never really become popularized, even today with the casual gaming movement that's going on, it's still not a really worldwide, well, it is worldwide, but it's not really in the public eye all that much, at least not as a lot of other media such as television or film is.
It's getting there.
It's getting there, but it's not there yet. So because of that, it's like it's sort of like the little kid in the schoolyard all the other kids can pick on. It's getting bigger, and it's starting to be able to stand up for itself. And if you've noticed, a lot of complaints about video game violence and stuff like that has died down recently. There hasn't been as many in later years. But I think that Washington and Congress and all those parents who write in letters and stuff, the parents are writing in letters because they're concerned for their children most of the time. And I think that's a valid concern. But when Congress starts passing laws about limiting video game violence and spending, and they're spending taxpayer money on enacting these laws, that's when I think that they're looking for a scapegoat for the violence in our nation. Yeah. And they're just using it as an excuse because they can't actually fix whatever problem might actually be there.
And also another thing is, with this introduction to Mortal Kombat, the question has to come out, did this type of stuff catch on, or did it not particularly gain speed?
I think it sort of sat there and simmered at the same level for a little while. Like, it'd go down, it'd go up, but it'd stay in mostly the same place. But I think in recent years, with the FPS debut, I think games like a lot of the James Bond games, Resident Evil, more recently, Gears of War 2. I mean, geez, that's a bloody game. You tear people in half with chainsaws. Fun, though. Anyway, it's games like that have really sort of encouraged the realistic violence or even over-realistic violence in games for shock value and for effect.
All right, so now we're going to go on to a period where we have the intermediate phase, which is roughly the time frame where we see, like somewhere in the mid-90s, where we see some big changes go on. We see the big transition from 2D to 3D. We see the new added issues of the camera. We see the more complex amounts of gameplay, such as the introduction to the 3D platformer. We see the catching on of the first-person shooter. We see a lot more adult type of game. So what do you think would have helped speed up this process of the transition from kids to adult during this time period?
I think there's a lot of things that helped. Specifically, I'm going to credit sort of T-rated games for this one, because a lot of the original audience that had played video games back in the 80s and the even, well, earlier 90s, is, of course, maturing along with the system. So because of that, a lot of the game developers, the intelligent ones, realized that and began developing games that were more oriented towards them. Teen-rated games. Games like Clay Fighter. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I do.
Clay Fighter 63 and a third, that game. That game didn't really have any blood, but it was a fighting game, and it was fairly violent.
I think it had Clay Sweat or something. It was a very obscure game.
It was obscure, but I actually have a copy of it. That's just a good example. If you're not just looking at the Nintendo Grand Theft Auto, that's an M-rated game. But back when Grand Theft Auto 2 came out, it was not so violent. Was pretty violent, but people, like, it wasn't well-defined violence, so people couldn't complain about it as much.
We also had GoldenEye 007. Now, GoldenEye 007 wasn't necessarily an M-rated game. If you look at the deaths, they look very dramatic. I remember looking at them, and to the average person, they'd be kind of mortifying to see. I mean, can you have to, like, picture someone being shot in the groin, grabbing hold of his testicles, screaming in pain, shaking as if he's having an arrhythmatic reaction, and then collapsing to the ground and, like, blood coming out of his mouth and blood coming out of his crotch. That wasn't necessarily there, but you could almost picture it, and it was kind of disturbing.
Yeah, but it's games like that, T games. They're the, well, T, I guess, in a way, stands for transition, not just teen, because game developers started developing games to match the age of the original gamers. Like I said, there were also a few developers also made games for the audience who is just joining now but happen to be more mature. You'd get games like Doom.
Yes.
Which was a blatantly violent game. And it was also mature.
Didn't it also have controversy over it being satanic?
Oh, of course. Every like shock game, game that's supposed to be shockingly violent always catches so much trouble from the media. Fortunately, like I said, that's been dying down recently, but
So
it's sort of frustrating, but anyway. Yes. We'll get into that later, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's would it be possible to say that the transition to 3D had something to do with this? I mean, if you look at it, with the third dimension, you have this brand new area to work with. When you have 2D, you simply only have to work with going from left to right, maybe top to bottom in an overhead view. But with 3D, you actually have this ability to work from either third person and or first person, and it adds this new challenge. And we see that a lot of big name franchises like Mega Man and like Sonic have had a hard time with that. So you think it's possible in order to compensate for that, we'd see a lot more mature games because they were more appropriate for this type of a transition?
Well, I think that I don't know if that's the case, but I think that more mature games popped up for sure because they more mature games were able to be developed. Like I said, the just programming limitations makes it very hard to make a game that can accurately portray real-life situations like blood or violence, just because, you know, they can't. There's no room to do so. However, in 3D, they got a lot more options as to doing that. You know, fighting games just exploded. There were so many fighting games coming out at that time. Like you said, games like GoldenEye, the first-person shooter industry developed. I mean, there had been, like, Wolfenstein before, but it really, like, if you look at it now, in my opinion, it hasn't aged particularly well. It just couldn't stand up to the FPSs of the N64 and PlayStation. And, yeah. So, like, the FPS industry definitely developed, and those have always been T to M-rated games. So I think it just sort of opened the door for people, yeah. not necessarily that the other industries were as limited.
Yeah. So now also here, this begs the question. This is going to be a recurring question to bring up. What would you consider there to have been any real resistance to this change? We see that Mario has throughout history has generally been for children. Zelda for a long time resisted this. We even had Kirby remaining very much for kids. Do you think there would have been a big resistance to this, even in the video game world, or do you think it would have been very small?
I don't know. I feel like the games that had already been around, like you said, Mario, Zelda, Kirby, they already have a formula. They have an idea. They have a child-friendly sort of system, I want to say, that's already set up. They have an idea of how they work and how they want to develop, and I don't think the games are necessarily going to change that much. I think that the only thing that might happen is the games might become a little bit more teen-oriented in the case of games like Zelda, because the developers can really portray their ideas better. I mean, if you look at Twilight Princess, in comparison to the first and second Legend of Zelda game for the NES...
It's a lot darker.
It's very dark. It's very dark, very depressing, but it's also kind of deep. It has emotions, you know?
Yeah.
It's an interesting game. Well, as the first game, all you get is some little pixelated dude running around to bleepy music, you know? So I feel like the only thing that it would do is sort of open up the venue for people to further develop their ideas, inadvertently lead to it becoming a slightly more adult game.
I think...
But in the case of, like, Mario, the only thing it's done is, like, I'm just going to be honest, the only thing that's gotten more adult about Mario in the most recent game is they gave Bowser his balls back in Super Mario Galaxy and let him actually cause some violence.
Yeah. I mean, it's also interesting to notice that, I guess in a way, you can have something dark and mature and still keep it for kids. If you look at, for instance, Bionicle, if you look at some of the Bionicle games, particularly for the handhelds, I have... Lego Bionicle and Bionicle McTorrent Adventures, they're both very dark games, but they're both for kids. So I guess in a way it is kind of possible for something to be more adult-friendly but still maintain that child audience at the same time.
Well, like I said, that's where the T rating comes in. That's really the sort of... Well, that's really the gray area of video game in regards to child to adult, and I think it's probably where some of the best games crop up, because they're not like blatantly violent or out there or so realistic.
But they're not restricted.
But at the same time, they're not too sort of gushy and kid friendly and stuff like that. You know, they find the happy medium where, you know, you feel like you're not being coddled, but at the same time, you get a fun-to-play, interesting game.
All right, so now we have to kind of cut that one a little bit short. So we're going to move into the later period. So the later period would probably cover anywhere between 1999 to about 2003. So what do you think would have solidified this end phase where we now have adults being taken as the main feature of the industry? What do you think would have caused that? Like if you had to pick one particular point, what would that be?
The Xbox, for sure. Because that game, the Xbox's number one big game was Halo. And Halo was an M-rated game, it was a violent game, but it was also one of the highest grossing games of all time, just ever released. And it was a very good game. I mean, I'm not a fan of Microsoft myself, but I remember playing Halo, and it was fantastic. It's a very good game, but it does deserve its M rating. And I think that's when the market really developed for adult-oriented games, because, like I said, the people who had been playing it since the start, let's say there was somebody who was 5 in 1985, at this point, they are 20 years old, around 20 years old, give or take. They're not really interested in playing Kirby or Mario anymore. I mean, maybe they are, but they're not, like, you know, they're looking for something new. And then Halo comes along, and it's this FPS, it's kind of violent, it's kind of brutal, but it's interesting, it's fun to play, it's innovative. It's really going to catch the attention of all the people out there who've developed and grown up.
Yeah.
So I think that the Xbox and all the M-rated games it developed and later led other systems to develop really helped that along.
Yeah. So it's also interesting to know that the even with this catch-on of Halo and the FPS genre becoming this cash cow, we still see that there were quite a few original and child-friendly games that existed alongside. So I'm pretty sure that this took several years to catch on. Do you think that this was a rather a slow progressive transition, or do you think it was a really fast transition?
I think that it was a little bit of both. I feel like the entire video game industry up until then had sort of been priming the market for it. They'd been, like I said, the M-rated games had sort of been simmering under the surface with games like Mortal Kombat and Grand Theft Auto, but they had never really hit it particularly big. Then games like Grand Theft Auto 3 / Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out, and Halo came out, and it just exploded. There was M-rated games all over the place. You couldn't go into a video game store without seeing at least, like, 10 of them on the shelves somewhere in the new game section, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it was very, very slow up until a point, then it just skyrocketed.
Yeah. So then another question also we see again, if there was a resistance, do you think there was a resistance, or do you think it was rather slow? Do you think that there wouldn't have been as big a resistance as there was originally? We know for sure that Mario and Zelda still retain their child audiences, but do you think that the resistance would have been as big, or would have been a little bit more subtle?
I think that it was still there, but like I said, video games have been coming more into the public spotlight. Like, and at that point, they had started to be a common media, not as much as they are now, but they were much more, you know, much more popular. Many more people knew about them. I actually do think that Xbox helped bring more of the world into the industry and helped bring more attention to it, mostly because Microsoft is such a big company and has the ability to do that. But in any case, I think that there was definitely some controversy. I mean, it's the same reasons. They had the same reasoning. If children started playing games like Halo or Grand Theft Auto,
or Metroid Prime.
Yeah, it's not really particularly good for them to be playing that sort of thing. Now, I mean, games like Grand Theft Auto, they're purposely violent, and they have, like, you know, they have hookers, drugs, violence, gang violence, you know. It's not necessarily something you want to subject a young child to. But in games like Halo, I honestly don't know if Halo deserved its M rating. I always thought it was a bit more of a, like, I think they need a sort of more between T and M rating game. Because, you know, it wasn't out there to be violent. It was an FPS, so you were shooting people, you know. It was violent, but it wasn't as bloody and gory and nasty as Mortal Kombat can be, you know.
Yeah. All right, so now, because we're running also on time here, we have to move on to the next topic. So right now we're at the present. So there are three different things we'd have to look at, and we can discuss them individually. So the first one is what must we face now with regard to we have an industry which is booming, geared toward adults, but at the same time we have to work with children, because as you know, we need to have fresh gamers come in all the time in order to keep things healthy. So what kind of problems would we have to face now with the two different audiences we have to work with?
I think that it's sort of going to evolve into two separate industries in a way that just aren't going to interact all that much, with the T-rated game sort of being the bridge between the two. I think that the development teams for games like Zelda and Mario I think that they're going to become a little alienated from the other ones. I mean, right now, you sort of get the feeling that the gaming industry is just sort of one big group, and each system is developing teams, like each, you know, places like Rare and HAL Industries, places like that, the developing industries are all just sort of one big group. But I think what's going to start happening is the developing industries are going to start making different divisions, like a mature division, a teen division, and a everyone division, or maybe just one of the three, two of the three, you know. They're going to start splitting it up because as games become more developed, they're going to become a bit more alienated, I think.
All right, so then also the problems that we have now, I guess, to verify what I mean, you find sometimes that certain franchises, when they've gone through transitions from 2D to 3D, you found that certain aspects of the formula have been tinkered with in ways people don't like. They sometimes they have an end result that's terrible. Sometimes they have an end result that's okay. So what kind of problems would you have to face right now as a twofold question? Firstly, for genres that are currently existing right now that are geared to kids, and secondly, for genres that haven't been around for quite a while and are coming back into the spotlight?
Well, it's actually kind of a tough question. I think that the only problem they're going to face is there's probably only going to be a set amount of children for the audience, because children grow up, but you get new ones. You know, I think it's going to maintain a fairly steady level. But there's going to be an ever-increasing amount of adults who are interested in video games, so it's going to start to get a lot more profitable to develop M-rated games and more adult games, because the child-oriented games simply aren't going to be as profitable. So I think probably soon enough, it's going to get hard for systems to develop genres that aren't insanely popular, like Mario and Legend of Zelda, there just aren't going to be that many new child-oriented games coming out. It's going to be much more things like Gears of War 2 and the Orange Box, you know.
Yeah. So with it, this thing comes up, the other question again about resistance. Do you think that this resistance has been successful, or has it failed? With games that have tried to resist, do you think they did it successfully, or do you think that they failed?
Well, I think that as far as like the incredibly popular child-oriented genres, they've definitely stayed separate from the whole more adult area. Like the you don't see Mario running around, like, you know, ripping somebody's larynx out.
That people would probably hold a protest if that happened.
Oh, if that happened, they'd raise holy hell. There'd be no end to it. But but games like Sonic, I mean, all I have to do is put one game up there, case in point, as
Shadow
a game
the Hedgehog.
Not resisting well and crashing and burning.
Shadow the Hedgehog. Good God,
that was a bad idea.
That was terrible.
Why the hell would you give them guns?
Well, I mean, look, it's not necessarily... Anyway, it's not necessarily the guns that's the issue. It's just that you're going so fast and there's so much crap on the screen that you have no idea what the hell is going on.
It's true. Well, that's part of the Sonic games and the genre, but at the same time, it's just sort of obnoxious. Anyway, let's move on, because honestly, yeah. I only have a little bit more time here. Yeah.
So now let's go to the future. So what do you think the future what do you think lies in store for us down the road?
I think that, like I said, they're going to start developing more mature games. It's going to become a bigger industry, and I think that there's going to start to become just sort of a pocket of hardened, well-known childhood games. I think Zelda, Mario, Kirby, like, you know, the big faces in child-oriented gaming are going to survive. They're going to be there. But there's going to be a lot of games for children that aren't as popular. Like, you'll get games like, there's one that came out recently, Elebits.
Elebits? I've heard of it.
Like, games like that, which is a child-friendly game that's actually fairly fun, they're not going to show up as often simply because it isn't going to be profitable enough to develop that game in comparison to a game where instead of capturing cute little electrical creatures, you use the same gravity gun to pick up large objects and pummel people to death with them. You know, it's going to be stuff like that.
I think it's also that it's just for a brief thing, I guess I can say as well. It's possible that, certain franchises are going to have to kind of evolve in order to keep up, like we've seen with the Ratchet and Clank. It seems child oriented, but if you look at it, it's pretty much you shooting enemies and collecting widgets. So I guess
I actually love the Ratchet and Clank.
They are very fun.
It's a great game. Anyway, if you notice, it's a T game. It's one of those gray area games that I think where a lot of development teams really shine, because they're given a little bit more freedom, you know. And on one hand, they can still make it so kids will enjoy the game, but on the other, they don't have to be completely unrealistic.
Yeah. So now let's see. Do you think it's possible that we could have some elements of the industry revert back? Not necessarily go back to the past, but we could see things like retro. We've seen some very interesting games come out for like the Xbox Live, WiiWare, and PSN, such as Mega Man 9. No one saw that one coming. We saw a remake of Bionic Commando. We've seen games like Bit Trip Beat, Bit Trip Core. We've seen some retro games, such as one that Sega's, I think, making. I don't remember what it's called. But do you think we're going to be seeing a lot of those, too, in order to help keep that market? Because it's obvious that there are going to be some people who will be interested in the child-friendly stuff as well. So do you think we're going to see a lot of that as well?
Well, I think that here's my personal prediction. I think that if gaming ever hits a sort of dry spot, I don't think it's ever going to have the same level crash it did back in the early 80s. But if it hits sort of a rough spot, which it probably will at some point, every industry does, it's going to need something to sort of refresh it. And in order to do that, it might decide to turn to retro gaming to sort of inspire people to say, this was good, it still is good, it's going to always be good, let's get back in this. So yeah. I think the only reason retro gaming might come back as a big movement is either because A, it's fashionable, which would piss me off to no end, or B, as a sort of revival to the industry.
All right, so now the last thing I guess we can ask about in the future, is it possible for child-friendly games and adult games to coexist, or do you think there would be some friction between the two of them?
Well, I think, once again, that's where the T-rated games come in. Like I said, I think that the M-rated industry is going to become a lot more popular due to the increasing adult population, but I think the T-rated games are really going to help with that, because they're going to start cropping up a lot, because not as much as the M-rated games, because like children, teenagers are a limited industry. There are only going to be so many, because kids are either too young or too old, and they grow through the phase. So I think that they're not going to really have too much difficulty. I don't think that they're going to argue all that much or get into sort of conflicts, but there's going to be a separation in the near future. You're going to start to see a change. There's going to be another transition.
Yeah. All right. So thank you very much for taking your time to talk to me.
No problem. Just wish we could have done a little later in the day.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a perfect way to start off my 19th birthday.
Yep. Well, happy birthday to
thank you,
man.
All right. Have a good. Yeah. Have a good day and enjoy your classes.
I don't think that's possible. But it's the last day, so thank frickin' God.
All right. So we're going to end this.
So now. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.